Testament reading is Romans chapter 16, verses 25 to 27, on page 1143 in the Church Bibles and on the screen. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And the reading is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, on page 1026 of the Church Bibles. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I'll use the radio mic, Peter, but at one point we'll be back on the lectern mic, so perhaps stay there. Good morning, everyone. I do have some rather startling news for you this morning. It's a bit shocking. Oh, before I say that, first of all, Mr. Steve Proctor is sitting in the back row. He has a special bow tie this morning that will light up. So if you turn and see it lit up, it means I'm doing a good talk. If it's not on, it's a bad talk. Or it could be the other way around. So you have to draw your own discretion. So this is we had four candles, and we've got four lights on his bow ties. I was going to say to you, it's shocking news. You may be totally surprised, but after today, how many more shopping days of Christmas? Three. I've lost the, here it is. Three more shopping days to Christmas. How many of you bought my present? John, thank you. flashing lights over the back there. That's a joke, but it's just shocking, isn't it, how quickly Christmas seems to happen. And there's been surveys, both in the media and in the newspapers, about what Christmas is all about. And I thought I'd share with you the results of that, what Christmas is all about. It's all about families. Get together, have nice fun. But if you're alone, of course, if you live on your own, have no family, it's not so good news. And if your family is dysfunctional and the Third World War might break out any time over Christmas lunch, it's not so much fun either. So families, yes. But of course, it's children. Unless your parents are Jehovah's Witnesses, then you can't celebrate Christmas. Or it's about love. That wussy, muzzy, hard sort of feeling of, oh, it's all nice, which covers reality for 24 hours. Or fun, parties, drinking. Binge drinking. Lights not going on? No, that's okay. eating and drinking. I'm amazed. We're going away for Christmas. We still seem to spend a lot of money on food. We're not eating it at home. We're eating away. But Joy's bought most of it for her mother. Spending. Shopping. Presents. Cards. Decorations. Debt. Credit cards. Bending. Breaking. It's all part of the Christmas story. These are the things that people talk about in films, on television, in the media, about Christmas. But then there are those people who are a bit more spiritual. They talk about peace on earth and goodwill to all men. That's Christmas Day. Boxing Day, it all goes back to normal. But Christmas Day, it's nice. But of course, for us as Christians, it's about Jesus. The phrase is, he's the reason for the season. He's what it's all about. So we're going to focus this morning on Mary. And Mary's Christmas, her first experience. I've got three things: Mary's favour, Mary's fear, and Mary's faith. Did you notice three F's? I've been impressed by that. I've made those up all my own. Didn't nick them from a sermon website. They're all my own work today. So let's think about these things. First of all, Mary's favour. The angel Gabriel's words to Mary were, "Greetings, you are highly favoured." The New Living Translation says, "Greetings, favoured woman." And the message, rather wonderfully as the message is, good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. What a lovely greeting that was from the angel to Mary. And the encounter took place in a small place called Nazareth. Insignificant. In fact, despised by the Jews. A place of reputation, of no religion, no morals. Tiny place. Simon Coupland, Sunday evening at the carol service last week, called it a crap town. Did you not?
I did.
I didn't know you were allowed to use that in the sermon, but now it's been officially acknowledged by the vicar. We can also say it if you want to. It was a crap town. It was a horrible place. A place of no reputation. Nothing any good came from there. There was a proverb that was used in the Gospels, but a proverb that was spoken. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It was just a place of a bum place, a crap place. And yet it was a place where this young girl, who was, again, insignificant. When I say young, she was probably about 13. Do you realise that, don't you? She wasn't 18 or 19 or 20 or in her early 20s. She'd be a young child still. Jewish culture, adulthood was reached at about 13. So a young baby girl was suddenly experiencing a visit from an angel. And she realised that she was going to be given birth to God's son. Now, she was very special. And this does give evangelicals a problem. When I became a Christian back in the 1960s, wow, a long time ago, I was fed some literature for something called the Protestant Truth Society. Have you heard of that? If you haven't, don't worry. If you have, repent. It was just, basically, I used to walk to work with a Roman Catholic friend telling him that every pope was in hell. Really, you know, good church unifying, relationship building stuff, you can imagine. Protestants give a problem with Mary sometimes. Evangelical Christian Protestants particularly have a problem with Mary. So Roman Catholics have venerated her. They've made her into a person of honour and worship and adoration. They have statues to her, pray to her, worship her. We don't do that. But we should acknowledge that she's a special lady. A very special lady. Because she was chosen for a very special task. Okay, let's think about Mary's fear. It says that she was greatly troubled at the words of the angels. New Living Translation says she was confused and disturbed. And the message says she was thoroughly shaken. In other words, she was afraid. That's not quite surprising, is it, really? That's what just happened. An angel turns up in Nazareth, speaking to a girl of 13, probably just doing the daily chores. Suddenly he's there, an angel. Anybody seen an angel today in your life? So it's a bit of a special deal, a bit scary to see this angel suddenly appearing. And the angel tells her that although she's never slept with a man, she's never had sexual intercourse with anybody, she's going to have a baby, she's going to become pregnant. Bit of a shocking news as well for her. And then she must have realised that she was special in God's purposes and God's plans. And so, no light she's... But the fear did not stop her asking questions. And she says to the angel, "How will this be? How can this be?" She didn't let the fear stop her asking questions. And you know, when I was preparing this, I thought, most of us experience fear and confusion at some point in our lives. It's time sometimes to turn back to God and ask a question. We're going to here reading. Joy's going to read to us. And microphone. Peter Watson, the lectern mic needs to go back on, please. This is Psalm 13.
O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord, my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, "We have defeated him." Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me.
Thank you. There's a psalm of David. David was angry, afraid, confused, lost, bewildered. All those emotions were coming out through David. In that psalm, he questions God, why, when, how? What's going to happen? When's he going to change? When's he going to be different? And I think you and I sometimes need to do that, don't we? We need to come to God and say, why, how, when? Not because we can necessarily expect a clear answer or a response of our circumstances being totally changed, but because God wants to hear our cry from our hearts. He wants to deal with truth in our lives. And then what happens is, you notice in that psalm, after four verses of complaining and questioning, suddenly there's a change. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you've rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he's good for me, good to me. I do believe that as we ask our questions, we may not get the answers, but something, peace, clarity, something will happen to us as we experience fear in our lives. Mary experienced fear, but she asked questions. And finally this morning, Mary's faith. NIV says, she said to the angel, after all the conversation, "May your word to me be fulfilled." The New Living Translation says, "May everything you've said about me come true." And the Message again says, "Let it be with me just as you say." It was her faith. Her response was one of acceptance and faith. But this faith was not a mindless, blindless leap into the dark. Her questioning of the angel proved that. But I do wonder how much she really understood. What did Mary think about? How did she understand what was going on? Last Sunday evening in the carol service, the words were sung by the choir, "Mary, did you know? Did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb?" You were here last Sunday night? Do you remember that? It's being sung. What did Mary really know? She took a step of faith. She accepted and received the situation. She knew that God's hand was upon her. She was a special person. I want to move you forward to the wedding at Cana in John chapter 2. Jesus is fully grown now, is starting his ministry. He was invited to a wedding and Mary was there as well. And a terrible thing happened in Jewish culture. The wine ran out. No lights flashing. He covered it up now. The wine ran out. And Mary had an idea. She said, "You know, Jesus can do, you can do something about this." And so she said something to the servants. This is what she said. She said, "Do whatever he tells you." Mary's words are advice to you and I today. Jesus, she says, Jesus, to Jesus, we should say, "Do whatever he says." We should respond to him, being willing to just do as he asks. Do you agree? Jesus, we want to do what you ask. We want to do what you want. Robbie Dawkins, the New Wine speaker, has written a book called Do What Jesus Did. Great book. Not do what would Jesus do, but do what Jesus did. Mary's advice to the servants and to us all these years later is do whatever he tells you. Let's pray together. Mary's experience with the angel and what happened afterwards was life-changing. I believe any encounter with God makes a difference. As the song goes, just one touch from the king changes everything. There are people here this morning who need a touch of healing. People here this morning who need a touch of consolation and encouragement, a touch of hope, a touch of love. Let's just reach out to Jesus at the moment. Let's open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Touch our lives, Lord. As Mary's life was changed by that encounter with the angel, just by being here. Nazareth was insignificant. Mary was insignificant. We're often insignificant. But you come and touch our lives. Touch us, Lord, we pray, by the power of your Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. And when we feel afraid or confused, like Mary, like David, we should ask God, talk to God. Shouldn't we, Stephanie? You say to God, why? Why is this happening in my life? The Bible says, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. We're weak people often, but God's strength comes into us. And finally this morning, we're being called to take a step of faith, like Mary, and submit to God. There's a wonderful verse in Proverbs that says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Father, this morning, as we close in prayer now from this talk, we want to open our lives afresh to you. It's Christmas, we're busy, we're travelling, we're presents, and all the things we talked about earlier on, all the things that make up our Christmases in these days and in our society. Lord, we pray that in the midst of that, there'll be time for us to submit afresh to you. Say, Lord, have your way in our lives. Give us tasks, give us challenges, give us work to do for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.